And it's Tuesday, May the 24th, here on Law and Gospel. And with me is my good friend, Pastor Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. How you doing? Hope we have good weather this afternoon.
Well, you always say that.
Well, it's nice now.
Yes, it looks pretty good out there. Do you think something might happen?
Well, there's a caution on it until, what, about 9 o'clock?
Is that
severe,
right? Oh,
severe
boy.
Thunderstorm.
Well,
we sure want to keep in our prayers the people down at Joplin.
I've got a little problem I got to go over with you.
Oh, what's that?
Saturday, Louise and I, we were cleaning up the yard, and she was cutting the lawn and then did the laundry and the dishes, and about 6 o'clock I called her to come in and do the dinner, and I couldn't find her.
Oh.
Yeah, and she went missing and left me behind.
Oh, I get it. You're talking about the rapture.
What
the
rapture?
Supposed rapture, right? Is that what you're talking about?
We don't believe in it.
I know we don't believe in it.
Well, then what happened?
Well, you're
I was left behind, Mark.
You're poking fun.
You know, I mock these people. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, any time somebody claims to know something like that, you know they're a false prophet. Right away.
No, absolutely. In fact, I want to go so far as to say this, is that, you know, it's utterly amazing that a rapture could ever occur. And, you know, part of the rapture theology is people don't know where the people went.
Right.
I mean, how many Left Behind movies have people seen? I mean, there's no newspaper that's going to remember any of that.
It's
conjecture.
Got me. What got me is you can fall off the other side of the horse. I remember hearing a lady theologian come on TV. I can't remember where she was from, but some theology school, and she came on, and she as much as said, "I can guarantee that the world will not end on that day."
Mm. Well, no, I made a $100,000 bet with anybody. I'd give them $100,000 if the world ended.
Well, you can't lose.
No, I couldn't lose that bet, because if they were right, they can't find me.
Who
I'm
cares?
Gone. Yes. And if they're wrong, I make $100,000. But nobody took me up on the bet.
I'm not surprised.
And then what's he giving, some song and dance about why it didn't happen, because the earthquake would have been too terrible to last for 5 months or something like that. It's just unbelievable that he still has a radio show, you know, and just unbelievable. But that's how naive people are. I really don't believe this has given Christianity a bad name, but what it has given is given evangelicals who believe in the rapture a really bad name.
You think so?
Well, I hope so. Because they should have a bad name.
Okay.
No, because they're teaching false doctrine.
Yeah, we do not agree with that. We do not agree
with
the rapture.
Do you know how many people...
I was talking to somebody this morning about the very thing.
Really?
About the rapture, yes.
You know how many people sold all their possessions? Which makes no sense to me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had that on the news.
A lot of people really did that.
Oh, sure, they believe this. And one gentleman paid millions of dollars for billboards and things like that. What caught my fancy is how this guy, you know, listener supported KFUO Radio is the best radio station in the world when it comes to true Christian theology. I'm in a new kind of talking thing on the internet. First time I've ever gone into what do they call those talk shows? Not talk shows, where people communicate.
Chat room?
Yeah, chat room. Very good. And the chat room I'm in is called Quora, Q-U-O-R-A, Quora.com. And I'm answering theological questions.
Uh-huh.
The one I answered today was, what's the best book to read about Christianity?
The B-I-B-L-E.
Well, somebody had already said that, and they said, no, that's the original. You need an interpretation.
Uh-huh.
So what do you think I wrote?
Law and Gospel?
No.
The Book of Concord?
Yes.
Okay.
I said, if you will read the Book of Concord, guess what's going to happen? You will just flip your mind. It'll just be amazing. And I've already got replies.
And what kind of reply did you get?
One guy says, well, another good book is Nietzsche's.
Oh.
Oh, I tell you. But, you know, it really doesn't matter. If one person even looks up on the Internet, Book of Concord, for the purpose of doing that, I think it's worth it, don't
you? That's right. If they get in, what's your? You bet.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about that. All right. What is our subject for today?
Peter's imprisonment and his escape.
Yes.
By an angel.
And the numbers, if you would like to phone about that, are 505-7850. That's in the St. Louis area. And
1-800-730-2727.
And what's kind of nice, it's just one chapter. So it's kind of easy to look at. Acts chapter 12. So if you're on the expressway, just with the other hand, take... if you're at home. If you're on the expressway, just listen. Yeah, don't be... texting, don't be reading.
Right.
No, not at all. Now, if you know, there was a jailer of...
Jailer Philippi?
Yes.
Yes.
Who were those people in prison?
Well, that was Paul and Silas.
Silas,
Paul
yes.
and Silas.
So this one was Peter, and it wasn't the Romans that were giving them problems.
No, it was Herod.
Yes,
King Herod. Herod had killed James, and he got rave reviews for that. He got so much adulation for having killed James. I don't know why, but he decided, well, I'll imprison Peter too.
Now, who's James?
James was the brother of John.
Yes.
And he killed him. I guess he beheaded him, killed him with a sword.
Yes. That's what it says. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, well, of course it would please the unbelieving Jews.
Right.
Because it pleased them that Jesus was crucified. It did not please them that he rose from the dead, but it certainly pleased them to that. Now, this is kind of interesting, chosen for a Sunday school lesson. You know, you start off with the head getting cut off.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, it's reality. I mean, but it's a great story, especially, you know, it shows how God uses angels. And how he delivered Peter from this prison in spite of all the chains and locks on the doors and soldiers that were guarding him. He brought him out of the prison.
Yes.
Miraculously.
Well, one of the points I wanted to make here is God's word never returns empty. It always has some effect.
That's right.
But the lesson I want to get across today, the theme for today, is that sometimes the effect God's word has isn't necessarily a blessed one.
Right. It could be a hardening effect.
It could be a hardening. And in fact, when the Word of God took place here, who ended up getting put to death?
Herod, I believe, right? Wouldn't you say Herod?
Yeah. But there was somebody else that Herod killed.
Oh, the soldiers were killed.
The soldiers.
That's right. The soldiers were guarding him. They were killed.
Yes.
I remember that.
See, and it kind of shows that Jesus' resurrection from the dead, the soldiers there were not killed. They were paid to tell a lie that the disciples had come and stolen the body, which is kind of interesting. So let's take a look at this. There were four squads of soldiers to keep him in prison, and Herod intended to bring him before the people after the Passover. Four squads. Are you aware what a squad is? Was that?
No.
No, I
would imagine, I don't know, squad, four, six,
yeah, that's what
something
I was
like
thinking,
that.
Four or eight.
Maybe he had 16 to 20 soldiers guarding him. Who knows?
Well, it says in verse 6 that he was bound with two chains between two soldiers. So that meant that they also probably were chained to him.
Right.
So that he couldn't get out. And then the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now, verse 7 is really interesting. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and he told Peter, arise quickly, and his chains fell off of him. Okay, I'm going to ask the same question I normally ask when we come to the angel of the Lord. Is this a real angel, or could this be Jesus?
It says an angel of the Lord stood next to him. I would say it could be either one. What do you think?
Verse 11 is kind of interesting. When Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel. Now, we know that happened with Mary. Gabriel went to Mary.
Right.
But his angel still could have been Jesus. Because remember, the word angel just means messenger. And Jesus was the messenger on Mount Sinai that God had sent.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Is there anything else here that would encourage us to think that it was Jesus himself?
No. No, there isn't.
I guess I'd be inclined to think it was one of his divine angels, one of his heavenly angels.
That could be. I'm not saying...
Not necessarily Jesus, although I wouldn't rule it out completely.
Right, right, right. The point I'm trying to make is Peter Krause's book, Angel of Angels, which, by the way, you can get at lawgospel.com, has almost 70 events where the angel of the Lord appears to be Jesus. Now, I don't know if he counts this one in or not. Most of them are in the Old Testament.
Yeah, I tend to think most of them are in the Old Testament. When I read Angel of the Lord, especially when it says an angel of the Lord, I'm inclined to think that's one of his holy angels.
Yes. If he had said the angel, if there was a definite article there, that would make quite a difference. There is no indefinite article in the Greek, right?
Right.
Yeah. So this is an editorial insertion, the an. But they would never have inserted it if there had been a definite article, because there are definite articles in the Greek, which are, I mean, the. You know, if it was the angel of the Lord. Now, why are we saying all this? Why should you keep on listening? Because you may not be put in prison, but how many times have you gone through great sorrow and tribulation, and you just mentioned what that happened this week?
Well, of course, the Joplin tornado.
Worst tornado in how many years?
60, 70 years, something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines. You may not be aware of this, but you know Gary Duncan, who's our top engineer here on KFUO. His mother... the sixth floor of the hospital that got hit.
Yes, yes.
A person actually was thrown through a window.
Really?
She was on the sixth floor.
Oh, boy.
And one of his brothers was there. And he grabbed her and got her out of the room into the hallway. And the wind was so strong it blew him all the way to the end of the hallway.
No kidding. Goodness.
And she was pretty battered up, although right now they don't think any broken bones, but he feels he had some ribs broken. They got her out, took her to Springfield Hospital, and she's doing fine there. The brother only got out yesterday.
Wow.
Took that long before they could get him out of there.
It was terrible.
Yes. And
you know, I don't think any of us really realize the strength of these storms until we really experience them firsthand. I just, you know, you just can't imagine that. You see the pictures, you see all the rubble, but you just, I don't think anyone really can imagine what that must be like in a situation like that.
Well, we had a pretty close call at the airport.
Yeah. Were you there?
I was at St. Paul de Pere in the service while the tornado hit. But that was about 20 miles away.
Right.
But we drove back home, and then I went over to the airport.
And you saw it all.
And saw, well, there was 18-wheelers on their side and things like that. In fact, we just went by there. We had been in St. Charles, which is west of St. Louis, folks. And as we were driving back, on both sides of the highway, walls are still blown out. Houses are down. A lot of blue covers on roofs and this kind of thing. But nobody got killed.
That's the amazing thing.
Amazing.
Is that one that struck North St. Louis? Nobody was killed. And yet, in this one in Joplin, you have over 100 people killed.
They said that this tornado...
And they had 20 minutes warning.
Yes, and some people said that they just didn't think the sirens were for them. You know, what are the odds of a tornado hitting you? Especially when you see one house all the way to the ground and the house next to it, no marks at all. I mean, that's what's so amazing about some of those. In Bridgeton here, there was a house that was to the ground almost, and next door was a house plus an outdoor swimming pool, the one up in the air.
Uh-huh.
You know, not touched at all.
Not touched at all.
Yeah, you know, so you just wonder about that. But they said this was a special kind of tornado. In fact, Gary told me the name, and I can't remember. but it was a big tornado with little tornadoes within it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here comes the question. It's clear that God permitted, in this particular place, Peter to go into prison. Can we say that God permitted the tornado?
Oh, yeah. You can't say he didn't permit it without... He's omniscient. He's all powerful.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you're basically accusing God of sleeping at the switch or that he's not almighty.
That's right.
He had to permit it. Now, the question is, why? We do not know. We just don't understand that. We do know that, amazingly, he'll work this out for good to them that love God. That's all we know.
Yes. And that's because we live by faith, because there's no evidence for that. As I've often said, the essence of the Christian faith are the promises connected to the gospel, for which we have no evidence by our sight that God is blessing you as much as he needs to right now. You know, I sure would question that sometimes. But can you imagine, you know, we weep when someone closest to us dies or when an animal we love dies.
Right.
Imagine having your family gone in one.
Oh, I know.
It just...
It's difficult.
We do have a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation there.
Emmanuel.
Right, and two of the houses of the teachers were...
I understand that one of the teachers lost their brother.
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
What's the number up to right now?
117,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, no doubt about that, so... And our own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, one of our areas called the district, is the Missouri District. And President Ray Murley has put some things out in case anybody would like to help out. The money will definitely go. In fact, they were even talking about cash for this. So that if you're willing to help out, you know, we would be, you know, glad to receive any gifts there. But that's something that is going to take a long time. They were still, I think, finding bodies.
Well, I know they're still rescuing.
Yeah, rescuing too.
People.
Yes. From President Murley, the reports I have received indicate that up to 75% of the city of 50,000 has sustained some damage, with much of the damage catastrophic. At that time, there were only 89 confirmed deaths. Emmanuel Lutheran is the only LCMS congregation. The church did not sustain significant damage, but the parsonage did. Structural damage, including the loss of its roof. And then they mentioned about homes of three of the Christian Day School teachers were destroyed, and the brother of one of the teachers was killed. Lutheran World Relief and Human Care is one of the groups that's in there right now. And so if you're at all interested, it's interesting he didn't have a phone number here to phone. But if you're at all interested, don't hesitate even to phone KFUO, and we'll be glad to give you the number where you can send money or help right now. The fact of the matter is that there'll be people listening, perhaps, to this Sunday school lesson. When the angel came and took Peter away, what happened is that the chains fell off of his hands, and he was told to follow the angel. And he wasn't really sure the angel was real.
Yeah, he thought it was a dream. It was so...
A vision.
Dreamlike.
That's what it says here, yes.
The chains just fall right off his hands.
Yep. And then verse 11 is interesting. But when Peter came to himself... Have you ever had a nightmare? You wake up and you really think it's real?
Oh, yes.
I almost have the same one every time.
Do you really? Well, do you ever have that dream that you're getting ready to take finals and all of a sudden you realize a class that you didn't attend all year? that's a recurring nightmare.
Wow.
I have.
Boy, that's...
Did you ever
a
have
good
that?
One. Yeah, I was. In fact, I did have one similar to that where I was trying to find the classroom to take the final and had not been attending any of the classes, and I had already got my degree that they were going to take away. Didn't make any sense. No, the one I have is I can't find the pulpit.
Really?
Or
I'm trying to think, what is God trying to tell you?
Or I can't find my vestments. That's a really big one I get often, you know, and I'm just kind of lost. In fact, the last one I had, I was here on the Concordia Seminary campus, and I didn't know where anything was, trying to find the place I was to preach at. It's always dealing with church stuff.
Preaching.
Yeah, yeah, preaching. I love nightmares. No, I wish I had them every
night. It's great waking up.
Yeah, I know it is. I wake up.
It's like great gospel. You know?
Yeah, yeah. No, what's really bad is you wake up and you find out that your motorcycle was in a crash yesterday and you got a $500 bill. Why aren't those nightmares? Boy. So I can understand why Peter. The fact of the matter is, I think we kind of walk in a... how would you, in a trance all the time. We don't recognize God's hand because it's not as miraculous as chains dropping off. Do you know how many times you were driving to...
How many times we drive on the highway and God's protecting us all around and then we don't realize it.
If the devil had one request to God today, it would be that you wouldn't have come to KFUO.
Well, sure.
And so how many accidents did God make sure didn't occur? You know, we just look at God and thank Him many a time for things that are obvious, like when we receive something more than we thought we were going to receive, or things are going the way we are. And I remember I was going through a time like that where everything was just perfect, and I was playing tennis with, Pastor Bergdorf, and we said, boy, it doesn't get better than this. And believe it or not, that night, the policeman came to the door about Phil's death on the motorcycle, my son.
I remember you telling me that. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And I get a little nervous each time I feel that way. Like right now, life is just really, really good. We've got healthy grandchildren. Louise loves it. She's babysitting a lot. So she's not at home. she really wasn't left behind.
That's good.
Yes. Well, it was impossible because there is no left behind, Mark. Okay. There's no rapture.
I believe you, yes.
Yes, okay. Well, you're looking at me saying, well, have you been missing your wife recently?
No.
Okay. The point here that we're trying to get to is that how many times could you sit down at the end of the day and write down all the things that didn't happen to you that could have? Many of them... Your list is going to be short because you're not even aware of them, you know, how many times.
Well, that's why we need to count our blessings. It's really true.
Yeah, I'm reading a book, Why People Are Successful. And a lot of times, like, this is very, very interesting. This is a fantastic book. Do you know that most hockey players in the hockey leagues were born when?
I haven't any idea.
January and February.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Now, what's the explanation for that?
It's just brilliant. Because in January and February, you're moving up to the next league, the next level, whereas the people who are born August through December have to stay behind. So when you move up, you get a lot more training, and sure enough, those people usually end up, I think it was over 85% of hockey players are born in January, February, or March.
Do you think their parents planned that?
No. Nobody even knew this till this guy wrote the book. You know, but it's kind of like grade school. We have two of our grandchildren, because they were born at a certain time, they couldn't go to kindergarten when I went to kindergarten.
Right.
So they're already kind of a year behind. But there it's going to be good for them because they're, shall we say, a lot smarter than the
right.
other kids.
Right, they'll be more mature.
But what I'm going to show you when I get back is a whole chapter he had, Why Planes Crash. And it's going to fit right in with how many things can we think of to thank God for what didn't happen. I just read it last night, and we'll talk about it when we get back from the break.
When an argument spins out of control, how do you react? This is John Fuller with a Focus on the Family Minute. Here's relationship counselor Michael Smalley about playing the blame game with his wife Amy.
When you are pointing the finger and you are placing blame on that other person, So I basically was pointing the finger at Amy going, this is your fault. I am angry because you did not behave well. Well, now she's pointing the finger back at me. And when you are blaming and pointing the finger at your spouse, that is when conflict gets out of control. It doesn't matter what she did. What matters is that when I got hurt and when I got offended, how did I respond?
Ultimately, we're each responsible for how we act. So next time there's a disagreement, instead of pointing a finger, try the golden rule and treat the other person with respect. For more trusted advice to help your relationship thrive, go to focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
Where there is music, God is always at hand with His gracious presence. Johann Sebastian Bach said that, and we believe he got it right. That's why we're continuing the tradition of timeless classical music and sacred classics online at classic99.com. The next time you're at your computer, why not check us out? The greatest music in the world, streaming 24/7 on classic99.com, a ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri.
Hi, this is Roland Lettner. I'm the host of Studio A on KFUO Radio, heard Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. The program is all about where Christ crosses culture. Christians are not one-dimensional people. Our Christian worldview influences everything we contact, whether it's family or sports, politics, issues like abortion or new definitions of marriage. It's all about being salt and light. That's the Studio A program, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m., hosted by me, Roland Lettner, on KFUO Radio.
Let's say you're a mom, and you want to put on the perfect birthday party for your twin daughters. So you get a clown, and he dazzles everyone. And you order a cake and have the bakery put something nice on it.
Happy birthday, girls.
And you hire a pony to give everyone rides. And it all goes perfectly.
Best party ever, Mom!
And you're the perfect mom. But even if it doesn't go that way, and your clown doesn't dazzle, and the bakery doesn't spell out the right message,
happy birthday, Gil?
And the pony doesn't give everyone rides, it can still be the perfect birthday party because kids don't always see things the way you see them.
Best party ever, Mom!
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of siblings in foster care who'll take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org.
Tom Baker back here with Mark Smith as we are talking about Peter's escape from prison through the help of the Lord, and we're suggesting that you have escapes each and every day, and you can hardly believe them. At the bottom of the break...
Listen to Law and Gospel weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is our...
They'd like to end our program, but right now we're not.
You're
on.
I'm on?
You are.
Okay, thank you very much, Buzz. Boy, it's good to have Buzz here. There was a close already.
Hmm.
You got to put the close at the end.
It jumped. That's what happened.
Oh, it jumped. Okay. Yeah. So we certainly don't want to close before we have to, Mark.
No.
Yeah, that nice voice comes on about, isn't it wonderful you listen to Law and Gospel? And I'm saying, what? Okay, we were talking about plane crashes. This book I was talking about is called Outliers, and it's an analysis of why people are rich when they get rich, et cetera, et cetera. The point here is kind of interesting. Is they discovered Korean Airlines had about 8 times more plane crashes than did others. And when they did an analysis of it, they found out that the plane crashes did not occur because of one action. They were usually 5, 6, or 7 things that went wrong all at one time. And I can't go into all the details about each crash, what happened, But, for example, the radar went out or the lights on the runway couldn't be seen. The weather was bad. The people, what was really interesting where they found out is that there's always a captain. And then who's the guy who sits beside
co-pilot.
Him? Very good, co-pilot. They found out that they had to get each other referring to themselves with their first name.
Hmm.
Because when they didn't, the co-pilot was always too formal. It was really quite an interesting read. Like, for instance, they were running out of gas. One occurred because they had to keep circling around because the weather was so bad, and they were running out of gas. And the co-pilot was saying things like, you know, is it possible that we're going to be low on gas? And he could not be direct to the captain because...
He was too formal.
Exactly. You know, he wanted to keep that. So all the pilots now are trained...
To speak on a first-name basis.
Not only to speak on a first-name basis, but to be really blunt.
Hmm.
Like, for example, this is the wrong runway you are on. You know? And they've learned, and it just the Korean Airlines is one of the safest now because they did these kinds of things. The point I'm trying to make is sin has a tremendous effect on why accidents occur and other such things. So that we a lot of times blame God when he's really got the whole thing in his hands.
Absolutely. He's in complete control.
He's in complete control. And
always.
Of course, certain things can happen to a person. I found this was really a very interesting note that was sent to me from one of our listeners. It was about an assailant who suffered injuries from a fall. That's what it's entitled. Let me read it. I think you'll get the point as we move on. Orville Smith, a store manager for Best Buy in Augusta, Georgia, told police he observed a male customer, later identified as Tyrone Jackson of Augusta, on surveillance cameras, putting a laptop computer under his jacket. When confronted, the man became irate, knocked down an employee, drew a knife, and ran for the door. Outside on the sidewalk were four Marines, collecting toys for the Toys for Tots program. Smith said the Marines stopped the man, but he stabbed one of the Marines, Corporal Philip Dagen, in the back. The injury did not appear to be severe. After police and an ambulance arrived at the scene, Corporal Dugan was transported for treatment. The subject was also transported to the local hospital. With two broken arms, a broken ankle, a broken leg, several missing teeth, possible broken ribs, multiple contusions, assorted lacerations, a broken nose, and a broken jaw.
He obviously got the worst end of it.
Injuries he sustained when he slipped and fell off the curb after stabbing the Marine, according to a police report.
Oh, it makes you wonder if they left something else out.
No, it doesn't make you wonder at all. You know very well that the worst
he did thing, a little bit more than stumble over the curb.
I think so. You don't want to. You know the Marines are for the Marines.
Oh boy, you bet.
You stab one of them,
they'll take care of you.
I'm reading this and I thought it was serious, and I broke out in laughter. Now, you see, a lot of people have this kind of attitude towards a Christian God. They'll say, in a positive sense, look at all the good things that are happening to me. For example, I kind of like watching certain, like Bones, that's a one-hour show about an anthropologist who looks at skeletons and figures out how they die. Well, her best friend and her husband were going to have a baby, and it was possible the baby was going to be blind. And it was one of the best scenes I've ever seen of a baby being born. And all you saw, the nurse took the baby away because immediately they wanted to examine the eyes of the baby. And both the mother and the father were just looking at the baby and the nurse waiting to hear.
Uh-huh.
And the nurse slowly turned around and said, there's nothing wrong with his eyes. He's healthy. And they just grabbed each other and were crying and all this stuff. Not one word to God in the whole thing. There was no prayer ahead of time.
No, thank God or anything.
No, they don't believe in God. Mm-hmm. You know, the two of them, they've had some conversations. Bones is kind of boyfriend. He's Catholic and he believes in God, so he's always arguing with her about that. But how do people live in this world where things like that are so fortuitous to them and they still don't think there's a God? Do you ever understand that?
I can't imagine it. What even worse to ponder is they feel they're just at the mercy of chance. I mean, that's a terrible way to live.
Well, that's one
to just think it's just, hey, you know, there's nobody watching over us. I mean, imagine living that way.
House is another program I kind of like. He's a doctor.
You like House, huh?
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, I don't know. I feel like I'm like him, or he's like me. Anyway.
House like you? Come on.
I know. What was interesting in this last one, this fits in here with Peter in jail, was that a woman thought she had cancer, and so she wasn't even going to fight it and just kind of commit suicide. But her boyfriend talked her out of it. And House was angry because he was very proud that she wasn't going to fight it because there was no hope for her. And he got really angry at her, and he said to her, you know, you're just a bunch of cells, and pretty soon they're going to die, and you're gone, and you're forgotten. So why fight so hard to stay here? You know, it was just really...
cynical.
Very cynical. Yeah, well said. Well said there. I don't see how a person lives without a trust in God. Because first of all, there's a God. Just look at nature. I mean, where'd this come from? I mean, the more the science gets into things like DNA, etc., the more...
The greater design.
Oh,
the design is unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. It just can't come about
by chance.
In fact,
I remember reading that if Darwin had been exposed to what we know now about DNA, he would have never proposed the theory which he proposed.
I wonder about that, because evolutionists are exposed to this, and they're still evolutionists. And I am discovering that that's because, by and large, many of them don't believe in God. They have to have a natural explanation. In philosophy, it's called positivism, which means if you can't see it with your senses, taste it, smell it, hear it, then it's not really real. And that just has come about so much that there are some people who will even deny parts of the Bible because they're supernatural. You know,
well, it was Thomas Jefferson, for instance.
Yes, yeah, yeah. He rewrote the Bible, taking out all of the supernatural parts in order that it could be more user-friendly for him. Yeah, I wonder on his death day what he experienced, you know. The theme for today is that every one of us go through some kind of a suffering. And sometimes it's not as vivid as what happened to Peter. Sometimes it's like, and you tell this part of the story, when Peter went knocking on the door, what happened?
Oh, when he finally found a house where he could go. Well, I think it was Rhoda, was the servant girl, is that right?
Yes.
Rhoda opened the door, and she said, there's someone that looks like Peter out here. And then she didn't let him in.
Yes. And what did the people think? Did they believe it?
They couldn't believe it.
No.
They were in disbelief.
No, they were, yeah.
They were all praying about him, but they just didn't think that he would get out there.
Isn't that it? You're praying and praying and praying, and then somebody says, oh, he's at the door, and they keep on praying. You know, we're like that. Because the way we expect God to answer, we thought he would go to trial maybe and be found innocent. That's what we were praying for. Nobody ever thought his chains would drop off and he would get away from all those soldiers just by walking away from them. So when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. I'm not even sure there's an English word that's good enough to express what the Greek there... I mean, they just were marveling. They just could not believe it. But I find this next part really fascinating. Verse 17. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent... he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Why keep silent? Why did he want them to be silent?
I don't know.
The only thing that came to my mind, and this is really interesting.
Well, they're all carrying on. They're overjoyed.
Right, and it's going to be heard.
And he's saying, hey, quiet.
Yeah, well, people are going to hear you. And then they're going to know where I'm at.
Commotion, maybe. Right.
Yeah. You know, this is interesting. God has a plan. He's got to get Peter from the jail to the house. So why doesn't he do what he did with Philip?
Just pick him up.
And transported him right to the Ethiopian eunuch on that road.
He could have.
No, but he didn't. He used the means. He dropped the chains. He put the soldiers asleep or unawares of what was happening.
Opened the doors
and see.
God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform.
Exactly. You just wonder why, you know, he sure could have saved a lot of time. That's how Jesus did it. You didn't have Jesus knocking on the door in the upper room.
That's right. He was already out of the tomb.
Yes. And so you have to have eyes of faith to see God's hand in what's going on in this world. Because every one of us go through what some appear to be some kind of suffering. I actually received this from a reader. I'm sorry, a listener. Out of Las Vegas. He says, you were talking about the issue of adversity or suffering. I believe that God often uses a 2x4 to get the attention of believers. I was baptized and raised in a loving Roman Catholic family. Over the years, I left the Christian faith. But I became acquainted with Lutheranism when my two boys began attending a tuition-free Lutheran school in eastern Washington State. Over the years, I had stopped attending any church. I nearly died of heart disease. And while recovering, I listened to KFUO and began searching for something substantial in my life. I was led back to the true Catholic faith and began regular attendance and receiving the Lord's Supper at a Lutheran church. I know many people who have suffered ill health and yet they never turn to God. I think the Lord disciplines his sheep and sometimes he uses suffering. I'm such a stubborn man. And it amazes me that rather become a bitter old man that I began a serious study of his word and became an ardent listener of KFUO broadcasts. I just thought your point on this topic, does God use suffering and adversity to turn people back to him or not? And the answer there is sometimes.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the greatest suffering that occurred to turn us back was the cross. That in and of itself. You've had members who endured great suffering. In fact, I think one of the reasons you put in an elevator was for
right,
one of them.
Enable people to get up and downstairs, right.
Especially the blind lady.
Right. We had two blind people in the congregation.
Yes.
One was blind from birth, pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
And if you want a little homework, I'd advise you to take out a sheet of paper and kind of go over the last maybe 8 hours you've been up and see all the things that could have happened that didn't happen. You know, how many times have you, tripped over something but didn't hit the floor? You know, how many people die every day because they go to a restaurant and eat bad food, you know, that's rancid or something like that? And you just... You have no control over your life. I think that's the message for today, that you have no control. And what I find so fascinating, we're so much like these Christians that we're praying for something, and then when it happens, we can't believe it's happening. We don't recognize it as God's hand. Now, verse 19, the other end of the story, Herod searched for him, didn't find him. He examined the guards, and what did he command them to happen?
That they be put to death.
Yeah.
Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and spent time there.
I know. Yeah, he went to the beach.
Yeah, kind of an anticlimactic statement.
Well, one might think that would be the end, but it isn't, because there's a few more verses.
and the death of Herod.
Yes. Herod is sitting on his throne and gives an oration to people. And look at what verse 22 says.
And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? See, there are some consequences of sin that God does on people.
He says, "I'll take care of you. You killed James, and you'll pay. You tried to kill Peter, and you'll pay."
But he also does it to Christians who are believers.
Oh, yes.
I've had a number of members who I had to go and visit in jail for one reason or another. I've had some, too, that weren't members, and I visited them in prison because they were living near me, and they ended up becoming Lutheran, and things really turned around for them. But the point we're making here is that, number one, bad things are going to happen to you because this is the devil's world. But nothing is going to be so bad that God is in control of it. Do you remember the four horses of the apocalypse?
The four horsemen of the apocalypse, right.
They're actually horses.
Horses.
War, tyranny, famine, and death.
Right.
They're Satan's horses. But Jesus holds the reins.
But he's got the reins.
Yeah, that's Revelation chapter 6.
What are those horses again?
War,
tyranny,
famine,
and death.
Death, yeah. They're the four horses that the devil uses to really hurt the world. They already began in the Garden of Eden, because as soon as Eve and Adam ate of the fruit, they, in a sense, spiritually died. Because they had to go hide themselves from God. And so they went and hid in a bush where God was, since he's omnipresent. You know, this is what happens with unbelief. You just can't see straight. You can't hear straight, and you certainly don't do straight. You may even do good works, but they're all to your own glory. So this is a kind of important verse here, verse 22. A little warning to pastors. If your congregation starts saying this about you, what does verse 22 say?
And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
You can't let it go to your head.
No.
Now, pastors have to watch that pitfall. They really do. You know, they... because...
It's almost impossible not to have that happen. I mean, I was at St. James 28 years, and when I left, I mean, particularly shut-ins were concerned and upset, and I felt I had somehow failed because Jesus wasn't leaving, only Tom Baker was leaving.
Right, you know? You feel like, you haven't made the point enough to them that, you know, the ministry goes on.
Yeah,
it's not Tom Baker. It's not Mark Smith. It's the Word of God.
That's why I've never really liked when a pastor leaves that they have a vacancy. As though nobody's home. You know, like a motel.
Yeah.
If it's vacant, that means nobody's living there. But Jesus is still living there.
Sure he is.
And we have interim pastors that come in, hopefully, and others that will help them call another pastor. Did I ever tell you what I said to my shut-ins?
No.
Yeah. The last visit I made, and that was the last week I saw every one of them, I say, "I have good news for you and bad news." And they say, "Oh, Pastor, what's the good news?" "I will bury you." "Oh, Pastor, what's the bad news?" "You have to die in 5 days." And we all laughed and cried. That's the kind of relationship I have with the shut-ins, you know. And I say, because once the new pastor comes,
he's your pastor.
And I'm not coming to do anything.
That's right.
No funerals, no. I kind of stayed at St. James for 8 years because people told me not to. You know me.
Oh, yes.
Well, the pastor needs to leave because he always causes the problem. And I do know four or five that did, that I was close to,
oh, yes.
But I know one or two that didn't. So I tried to mirror them.
You wanted to prove to them that you could stay and not cause problems.
Well, first of all, my wife was in the choir, and there was all kinds of... We had good friends there and things like that. But I never went to a voters' meeting. You know, when people call me about serious stuff, I gave them the pastor's name. Your new pastor is this, and here's his phone number. And within about a month, that pretty well, you know, was taken care of there. But you have to be adamant. Yeah, you don't want to say, somebody phone you up, you confirmed our children, would you, one of them's getting married, could you do it? I say, well, you know, I really can't without his permission. That's about the worst thing you can say, because then they go to him
then,
and say...
Then they blame him.
Yeah, then they blame him. And so there was one man, though, he was one of my elders, who was kind of like almost in a coma when I left, and so he never really got to know him. And the family asked if I could do it. They phoned me. I said no. But then he phoned me, and he said, you know, under the circumstances, since I never even knew the man, got to talk to him that much, would you do the funeral? And I said, I'll only do it under this condition, that I do the sermon, but you do all the liturgy and also the burial at the cemetery. And that's what we did. And he and I have had a great relationship. We have left now, you know, St. James.
He's a fine pastor.
Go to St. Paul de Pere. So, yeah, it was hard because you got so many friends still there. But our kids are over at the other place, you know, and there were some other things going on that was close to home, et cetera. But nothing's more important, I've often said, than two decisions, who you marry and what congregation you join. Notice I didn't say what denomination. Because even within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I have a very good friend who just does not like going to churches with over 500 people. You know, he likes a small church. And I like the big churches because then you get the bands and the, you know, the music and this kind of thing. Although when I preached at your place, you've got such a good organist.
Oh, I've got... several good organists.
Have you?
Yes.
Well, it was always the one. And she's the daughter of
Chuck Spomer.
Yes.
Pastor Chuck Spomer.
Yes.
Right.
Who is often heard here.
Right.
So the point of view today was, from a law gospel perspective, it looks like we're getting hit a lot of times by the law, or good things are happening to us. We need to wake up to the fact that God's in charge of everything. That the suffering is always mitigated, so it's not beyond what we're able to endure. That's his promise. And the good things always come from him. So that we have the opportunity to give him thanks and glory. Not this week, but the following week, you have an Ascension service? Or is it just Sunday?
No, we have it on the Sunday.
Okay.
On the following Sunday.
So what are your services again, times?
Yeah, 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, followed by... Sunday school and Bible class at 10:25, and Saturday evening service. If you can't make Sunday, it's Saturday evening service at 5 p.m.
And the address?
The address is 8646 New Sappington Road. We're just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection.
Yeah, where that big shopping
out
center.
Out in Crestwood.
Yes, no problem at all. And again, I thank you for letting me preach there and do the Bible study. And we'll catch you next Tuesday.
That's right, Tom.
Okay. I'm Tom Baker and with Mark Smith, and we're closing right now.
Listen to Law and Gospel weekdays at 3 p.m. on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.